We left off yesterday. We were in the middle of Kirega's whole razzle-dazzle approach to Gemara. And something radically changed between the Havamin and the Maskanas of Gemara. So the Gemara was trying to discuss the two cases of the Mishnah. One was the case of Metziah, and the other was the case of Mekach Lememker. Even though the words Mekach Lememker don't appear explicitly in the Mishnah, that's the Gemara explains in the Beizem Beiz. That's what's alluded to by Zemek Kulashuli. Otherwise, it's just repetitive. But there's a case of Mekach Lememker. Hopefully we're going to talk a lot about the details of the Mekach Lememker case a little bit later on, what the role of the Bala Mekach is, why he should or should not be believed, but at least take it on faith for now that there's a case of Mekach Lememker. And the Gemara had a little bit of a give and take as to what the scenario of Mekach Lememker. The Gemara thought that only one of the two Bali Din actually paid money, which in effect would lead us to believe that one of them is really trying to get something for nothing. And the Maskana of the Gemara is, no, they really both gave money. It's just a question of confusion as to which one the Mercher conceded to sell the object. So Kivega makes a whole to do a whole tumult, and it says that the difference in the Havami and the Maskana is not just a technical detail in terms of did they pay, did they not pay, but rather it gets to the very core, the very root as to what the Dintar is about. What is the essence of the tainess of the Bali Din? So the Havamin of the Gemara was that we're dealing with two potential shakranim in front of us. You got one shakran, another shakran, two real liars. One of two of them are really lying. Haraya, both of them didn't give the money. That was the Gemara thought. When the Gemara was mechadish, no, the nafatuz mitravayu that both of them paid for the object. The Gemara is changing not just the technical details as to how much money was transferred, but rather the very essence of the claim. Now, both of them are very honest, well-meaning people. It's just that one of them is doesn't have the right information. One of them is Omer B'didomi. So, whereas in the Havamin of the Gemara, we're trying to solve the Din Torah between two Shakranim. In the second case, we're trying to solve, in the Maskanas of the Gemara, we're trying to solve the Din Torah between two people who one of them is misinformed. So it's a very, very different type of a Din Torah. Why does it make a difference? So Rabbi Kivega says, the difference is whether we can invoke the mechanism of Migo, whether Migo gets rejected outright. So comes Rabbi Kivega and says, the Maskanas of Gemara, of course Migo is not relevant. And Migo with the dummy, every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that Migo the dummy is no good. You never learn Yevamos, you never learn Ksubis, you never learn Taizim, you never learn Shavuos HaShomrim. Everybody knows that Migo the dummy doesn't work. The Rishonim that were pilpling about the validity of the Migo were only pilpling Alibet HaHavamina, that it was a real issue of Shakranus. That was Rabbi Kivega's Shtipl Torah. So now, Rabbi Kivega, to extend this whole theory of his, that something radically changed between the Havamin and the Maskanas of Gemara, Rabbi Kivega goes on to explain another phenomenon that plays out in HaSugya, which is just what we started with at the very, very end of Shir yesterday. That's how Gemara plays out with the Sugya and Babakama Kuf Yudalad. What is the Gemara and Kuf Yudalad and Babakama? What does that have to do with us? So the Kitz and Imritz, we said the end of Shir yesterday. The Mishnah describes the scenario of Yatzel Hashem Geneva Be'ir, where there are rumors flying around that Shimon had some property stolen from him. Reason to believe that there was a geneva that took place, and lo and behold, Shimon sees some of his property that sitting in somebody else's house. So he accuses the person and saying, "Hey, you! I'm not saying you're a ghana, but you bought for the ghana. Means you ended up with my property. That's mine. So what do we do with that taina?" The Shimon goes ahead and he advances such a taina. So it's clear from the Gemara that min haTorah that taina is absolutely nothing to stand for. Min haTorah, I come and I say that property is stolen. What kind of taina is that? Property is stolen. So what does that mean? But mid the Rabbanon, since there is reason to believe that there was a geneva took place, it's Yatzel Hashem geneva be'ir. So the Chacham made a special takana that Shimon can be mitzi that property, provided that the Lokech is reimbursed, because the Lokech is really innocent. Lokech really didn't realize what was going on over here. And we're not even 100% sure Shimon's entitled to the property back. So we made a double Tachon Sacham. We'll give Shimon the property back, but Shimon has to pay the Lokech. How much he has to pay? So the Lokech has to swear as to what the value of how much he laid out for the property. That's the Tachon HaMishnah of which is predicated on the reality of Yatzel Hashem Geneva B'Yir. So comes Taizim Baba Basra, who we left off yesterday, comes Taizim Baba Basra from the days and says, wait a second, I don't understand, the Hogamah, stop. Zav Taizim, stop. What do you mean that this din, the ability of Shimon to get back the property, is only the Chihagamna that it's Yatzel Hashem Gneva Be'ir, only because there's a special Takana Sechamim that enables him to get back the money, which is limited only to that quirk of Yatzel Hashem Gneva Be'ir? Frek Taizim, what do you mean? Shimon should get back the property Medina. He should have a right, me'ikra d'min haTorah. He should have a right to get back the money. He should get back the property. Why? Isn't there a cloud called the Mutzmech Vel of Araya? If I come and I say, Moshe, that shirt that you're wearing, so that shirt is mine, that's a late sonus, a Mutzmech Vel of Araya. He's Tophos. Moshe's a toy face. He's a muchzuk on the shirt. Not so simple. Comes the Gemara and says, What if we know in the past that this shirt used to belong to me? You know, for the last 20 years, I was the good old days before I wore button-down shirts, little top shirts. Okay, so the old days, I used to wear those shirts. So comes, my kids still want to know why I only wear white shirts. Even in the summer, I can't wear a blue shirt once. I said, do I wear my annual blue shirt once a year? Anyone else want to see me in a blue shirt? When I build a sukkah, that's right. Twice a year, we put it up, take it down. I have one blue shirt for sukkah building activity. Okay, so it's got the same stain from year to year on it. So Rabbi Sai, so if everybody knows that this shirt used to be mine, for the last 20 years it used to be mine, now all of a sudden Moshe's wearing it. So if I come and I say, Moshe, that shirt is mine, Moshe's a muksuk on the shirt. I'm a muksuk on the varaya. Not so simple. Says the Gemara, it depends. If the shirt is a type of an item which is not darko, lishol, it's not something that we'd usually lend out, not darko, lahash, lahaskir, it's not something that people usually lend out. So then from the fact that Moshe is holding on to the shirt, there's only one way he could have gotten the shirt. Well, two ways. So it's not normal to assume that I lent him the shirt. So you have one of two possibilities. Either he bought the shirt or he stole the shirt. So we don't assume people steal. That's out of the off the charts. So there's one of three possible ways for that shirt to make it into Moshe's possession. Either I sold it to him, or I lent it to him, or he stole it. So to say that he stole it, that's not shaykh. We know achzuki and shpegan v'lo mechazkidim. To say that I lent it to him, it's dark. It's ain dark lishol. It's not something that normally people borrow from one another. So the only eitz is the only way is to explain away how Moshe is doing the shirt. I must have sold it to him. So Gemara says right. That's the din, and therefore Moshe is the muchzak on the shirt, and Moshe gets to keep the shirt. But what if it's an item that's dark lahashil? What if it's something that it is normal for me to lend? I do lend out my shirts to people. I do lend out my sperm to people. I do lend out my car to people. And now all of a sudden Moshe is holding on to my property. So then wait a second, then not so poshut. So then one can argue, if I accuse Moshe of being a ganav, kind of accusation is that. But I can say to Moshe, listen Moshe, I lent you that shirt. That's a good taina. And Beis Din knows, everybody knows that it was my shirt for the last 20 years. So the fact that Moshe happens to right now be holding on to the shirt, that's not really called a muksuk anymore. You're only a muksuk when the only way to explain that you have this object, you must have gotten this object because it actually belongs to you. Usually, when you're holding on to something, that's indicative of the fact that it belongs to you. But here, maybe the reason why you're holding on to it is because you borrowed it from me. So if it's something which is dark al hashil, muksuk falls by the wayside. So lo yitzu, you have something which is dark al hashil, al haskir, the gemara says beferish. If I have a cheses merkam, if we know for a fact that I was the owner for the last 20 years, and now I say, Moshe, I lent it to you, I have namanus. I win the din Torah. So remember we said possession is 9/10 of the law? It's only 9/10, it's not 10/10. Because if it's a dover, shadak, al hashla haskir, taka, you lose that, even though you quote unquote have possession, because that mukzokas is nishke mukzokas. So with that background, comes Taisus of Avas and says, wait a second. What is svarim? What's the Mishnah talking about? Mach is svarim a Caleb. Is svarim something which is dark al hashil? A svarim things that people lend out? So Taisus says, of course people lend out svarim. The Gemara says that's a great mitzvah, it's a great tzedakah to lend out svarim. Everybody lends out svarim. Of course, that's normal to lend out svarim. So comes Taiz and says, if I see my svarim in somebody else's hands, and I have a chazak, chazak meikama, people know that those svarim used to belong to me at one point. If I see those svarim sitting in Moshe's hands right now, if I would claim to Moshe, Moshe, I lend you the svarim, what would happen to the svarim? I would get them back. I would win the din Torah. So, Frektai Zakasha, how come a Kufiya Dalam in the days, the Gemara is a whole shtickle Torah that it's only Midirabbana, and you have to take a Shvuah, and Midirabbana, you really shouldn't get it, and it only applies if Yetzal Hashem can ever be here. Typically, that Svarma is something which is Dakal Hashil, and whenever it's Dakal Hashil, I have a right to demand to get it back because I lent it to you. What's the answer? The answer is Pasha. Because in Kufiya Dalam and Babakama, what am I claiming? Am I claiming that I lent it to him? What am I claiming? I'm claiming that it was stolen. So says Taisus, it's obvious the reason why in Kufiya Dalam we have to come on to a Takanas Chachamim, it's not good enough min HaTorah to give the Nigna back his farm because he's claiming the wrong thing. Why is he claiming? If he would have claimed that they were Nishal, Hitaka would have won this farm. But Hacham Ha'iskid, and he tied it that they were Nignavu. So Taisus breathes a sigh of relief until Taisus says, hey, wait a second, don't catch your breath so fast. You know why? What does the Nignav have? A what? Amigo, thank you very much, Estasis. So we have once again another Migo on the board. I see my Svarim, okay, here. Here's a guy sitting here reading a Sefer. Okay, what does it say on it? Rishis Koch, okay, nice sefer on it, okay. He's reading a sefer, and I come and I say, hey, those are my svarim. Those are stolen svarim. Now svarim are dover, which are dark, lahashil. Everybody learns that svarim all the time. I learned that all my Rishis Koch all the time. So if I would come and I would say, I lent you the sefer, basically would take the sefer and give it back. But that's what I said. I said, what did I say? I said, Nignav, right? The sefer was stolen. So comes Taiz and says, even though the Taina of Nignav is not a good Taina, why isn't it not a good Taina? That's not normally an acceptable Taina to accuse of Geneva. Lord says, Taiz, true, I'm not believed to say Nignav outright, but I should be Neman to say Nignav, the Migo to She'ela, Migo that I said that I lent it to you. That's Taiz's Kashi of Basim and Bay. I got to read a whole Taiz, you got to really, really help cup. In this cash, you have to understand when Achzukin Shabbat Gadol Machaskid and Gadol Dvar Moshe Lahas Lahaskir. You got to when Tosas learned Kuf Yedal and Rabbeis and Bavakala. Most people, by the time they get to Kuf Yedal and Bavakama, they're so tired, they're so worn out. The Kuf Yedal and Bavakama. Even Mary Yaakov was tired. You got the Kuf Yedal and Bavakama. You know, come on, you're just looking to the end. You can't wait already for the Siyum to move on. So the Balei Tosas, no, they learned Bavakama. Kuf Yedal said, hey, wait a second. It doesn't fit into all the klolim that we know from Shruas and Bavakama, Subas, etc. So that was Tosas Kasha. No, what does Taisa say? What does Rabbeinu Tam say? What the hell did Rabbeinu Tam what? The what? That inochinami, it's a gewaltig enigo. It would be a gewaltig enigo. And therefore, you don't need Yetzel Hashem Gneva Bia. Aye, the Gemara doesn't say that. So why does the Gemara say Yetzel Hashem Gneva? Hocha b'mayaskinan for the one nincompoop who's a stingy guy who doesn't like to lend out Svarim. So hocha b'mayaskinan that Reuven doesn't lend out Svarim. So Reuven Taka would not have a taina of She'ela. It's only when it's Osei Lahashir Lahaskir, only something which is normal for that person, not because it's normal for other people, only if it's normal for that person to lend out, do you have a taina of Hish'alti Lecha? So since Reuven personally wouldn't have the taina of Hish'alti Lecha, therefore he personally doesn't have the Migo. And that's why the Tekhanes HaMishnah is necessary of Yathla Shemeng and Ereiyah, the whole Pizman for Vakamak of Yidal. But for a normal, a friendly guy who lends out a sperm all the time, you don't need the Mishnah. I can't give Rabbeinu Tam. Come Taisus and gives another teretz. The Eidi Shalom is of Taisus in the name of who? Alright, here's the multi-million question. Who? Rabbeinu who? Who thinks his name is Rabbeinu David? If the Bach was here, he would have voted. Who thinks his name was? We don't know his name was, but the Bach Taisus liked him, so they called him Rabbeinu who? Daidi, his uncle, his friend, somebody, I don't know. Nila Daidi. So it's funny because there's only one place that I remember in Taisus where Taisus refers to one of the Balei Taisus as Daidi. Anyone knows what Taisus? So Taisus in the beginning of Sechel Berachah Beitza, Taisus refers to one of the Balei Taisus as Daidi. But it's the Ri who's writing, and the Ri is quoting his Daidi, Nirla Daidi. Who is that? Who is his uncle? Who's the Ri's uncle? Was it Rabbeinu Tam? The Ri's mother's brother was Rabbeinu Tam. In case you want some genealogy of Balei Taisus, the Ri's mother's brother was Rabbeinu Tam. So the Ri would refer to Rabbeinu Tam as Divrei Dodi. So therefore, unless there was some other great uncle who belongs to Balei Taisus, I don't know who this other mysterious uncle was. That's what maybe it was Taka Rabbeinu David. So I'm not sure who it was. I don't know who this was. Not sure what the gear says in Taisus. We'll build a box. We'll call Rabbeinu David. Whether it was or not, I have no idea. Anyone know any of the Balei Taisus' name was Rabbeinu David? Do we ever find Rabbeinu David in Taisus? There's Rabbeinu David was a Talmud and Ramban, but I don't know who it was. Anyway, okay, call Rabbeinu David for lack of a better name. So the beloved Rabbeinu David, Uncle Rabbeinu David. So Rabbeinu David says, no, you don't have to go Rabbeinu Tam's route and give you out Kim Tachem Ha'eskina, there's no Migo, there's She'ela because the guy's a stingy guy. Zokt Rabbeinu David, what? There's no Migo because there's no Migo. You know why there's no Migo? Because the Migo the what? We should know enough about this. It's a Migo what? To Migal Haitzi. So Rabbeinu David says, what do you, how come you're trying to quote to Migal Haitzi? You want to get your sefer back based on the Migal Zach Migal Haitzi. But then Rabbeinu David gets a little bit nervous and he says, well, the truth is, this is not really a Migal Haitzi. This is not a classic Migal Haitzi. Why? Because we're not really giving you back something, taking something from A and giving it to B. What are we doing? We're making you do what? Making you pay for it. There's going to be money that's going to be, even in the Mishnah, even post Tekhonet Tzachamim, that the negative gets his property back, he's got to pay for it. So comes Rabbeinu David and says, this is a chiddush, this Mishnah. This Mishnah is a chiddush agabi chiddush. It's a chiddush, number one, the Migal Haitzi is taka not a Migo. And number two, it's a chiddush that this is called the Migal Haitzi. Notwithstanding the fact that the person's paying for it, that's also called the Migal Haitzi. So Rabbeinu David says, yep, that's the din. That's taka the din. So Taisus, but 2 days in Pesach. The Tam says, "Achar ma'eskinan." It's there is no migo d'she'ela because this person is not an osh lahas lahaski. He's a stingy guy. And Rabbeinu David says, "Nah, it's not a chisor in the she'ela." Right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, the chisor is in the she'ela. According to Rabbeinu David, the chisor is in the migo because migo ha'itzi doesn't work. And this is also classified as a migo ha'itzi. So come the acharayim in Shulchan Aruch and Cheshi Mishpat and say, hey, "Wait a second. So what did Rabbeinu Tam hold? Rabbeinu Tam forgot the sugi migo ha'itzi. What did Rabbeinu Tam hold?" What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Didn't know chinami that if the guy Taka was a osel lahash lahaski, if that would be the mitzias, so then Taka the din would be didn't know chinami that the migul would work. What happened to migul lahaitzi? What's the answer? What did Rabbeinu Tam hold? Rabbeinu Tam denied migul lahaitzi. What did Rabbeinu Tam hold? Everybody say. When you give the money, that's not called lahaitzi. Migul lahaitzi means like in our sugya, we're going to give you back something. Migul lahaitzi means that was a bad example. Migul lahaitzi ksubis. Those are migul lahaitzis. But for Basra, Migul Haitzis. But over here, but for Kamak of Yidal, you're going to get the object, but you have to pay the full value of it. That's not called the Migul Haitzis. So, L'cher, we have a machloikis now between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu David developing in front of our very eyes and Taizim of Basra and Beis as to what are the parameters of Migul Haitzis. According to Rabbeinu David, Migul Haitzis is determined by the object. If Tachlis, you're walking away with another object, that's called Migul Haitzis, whether you paid or not. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, no, it's only called Migul Haitzis if you get it for free.
You don't want like a Rabbeinu Tam that it's not a guy who's stingy and he usually lends it out. If a player not muksuk on something that's not usually sent lent out. I mean, on something that's usually lent out, then you're not muksuk.
You only yeah. So I have to tie in something. For me to just say it was stolen, that's not a valid taina. That in of itself is not a taina. If I would say it's I lent it to you, that's a valid taina. To accuse or say something was stolen, that's not a taina.
No, but doesn't what do you mean? Why
the guy's not muksuk, but I'm still not going to win.
If he's not muksuk, though, he's not muksuk because of something that's usually lent out. Isn't that what we just said?
I mean, according to Rabbeinu, once you say that
it's not a case of where the guy's stingy, and the reason why the migul is not good is because migul hotzi.
You mean migul hotzi is defined by the absolute klal of matzav avarai. Once you tell me that matzav avarai isn't going to apply here, because haraya, if I would have said she'elai, Tapa would have won. So that's matzav. The other guy's not a real muksuk. If the other guy's not a real muksuk, so why is that called migul hotzi? An interesting suggestion. Hey, what do you think? Not bad. I think about that. Okay. Not bad. I think about that. So everybody's saying. So we have Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu David. We're going to put your aura on back burner. It sounds pretty good. Sounds good. Process it. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and comes Rabbeinu David and having supposedly this Machlekes about whether that's called Migul Haitzi or not. So come the Acharenim and jump. And who? And jump in Rabbeinu Tam. Come all the Achleb and jump in Rabbeinu Tam. And say, what are you talking about? Migul Haitzi, it's not called Migul Haitzi because you're getting the money back. What does that contradict, Rabbi say? Contradicts the second sugi of the year. What did we say our sugi is a classic example of? No, what's our sugi? A classic example of? Migul Haitzi. No one learned the Taisus, the Beis. No one learned the Rivab. Wasn't that the name of the sugya, the second sugya, Migul Haitzi? This is a classic Migul Haitzi in Shnayim Erechs and Betalis. So I ask you, Rabbi Sai, in Shnayim Erechs and Betalis, am I getting an object for free or am I paying for it? What's the answer? What? In the case of Metzia, let's go through the cases. In the case of Metzia, am I paying for it? No, I'm not paying for it. In the case of Mecha Chamemker, am I paying for it? Because after all, I laid out the money. I laid out the money, and you laid out the money. So if I walk away with the talis, you're going to walk away with the money. If I get half the talis, you're going to get half the money. I get 3 quarters, you're going to get a quarter. Of course I'm paying for it. I laid out money for it. So I'm getting either an object or I'm getting my money back. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that doesn't qualify as a migul haitzi, so why did the Rishonim write in our sugya that's called a migul haitzi? The example, the prototype of Migul Haitzi, Shnayim Erechs and Betalis, it's not true. Once we have the case of Mecha Chamemka, by definition, is not called a Migul Haitzi because there's money being given back. So Kum Rabbi Kivegar and says, what's the answer to this question? No? The answer is, it's part of the same story, part of the same pismet. Says Rabbi Kivegar, remember the progression of Asugya? First, the Gemara thought that there's Echad Nais and Domin. Then the Gemara said, that Shnayim Nesin and Domin. In the Havamina of the Gemara with Echad Nesin Domin, what was the problem? What would the Rishonim say? What was the problem with the Migo? What was the chesaron of the Migo? Migo le... Migo lehoitzi, right? That was called the Migo lehoitzi. In the Maskana say Gemara, what was the problem Rabbi Kivega said? The Samakutzi, that it's Omid B'didomi. Comes Rabbi Kivega and says, the only reason why the Rishonim said Migo lehoitzi is considered to be a Migo lehoitzi because the whole Mahalach of the Rishonim was only B'hava Min Les Gemara when we're talking about one person gave money. If one person gave money, so whoever we're going to give that object to, he's going to be Maitzi. He's not going to have to pay anything. He's not going to have to shell out money. He's going to get it. It's only in the Maskana when the Gemara says, Shnayim Nosnim Domim, so a person is going to lose. Whatever he gets, he's going to lose. He's going to have to pay for, in effect. Only in the second case, the Bisharim are no longer calling it Migal Haitzi. That the Sabikutzi is right. That the answer is B'didomi. So says Rabbi Kivager, there's no kasha from Agamar against the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was only talking at one stage of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that's not called the Migal Haitzi. That's not a stira to this. The Rishonim was saying that's called the Migal Haitzi. We're at the earlier stage in the Gemara. So in one fell swoop, where Rabbi Kivager just did, I don't think anyone, when he read this Gemara, thought of all this, but Rabbi Kivager, including myself, Rabbi Kivager looked at the Gemara and said, everything changed from the beginning of the sugya to the end of the sugya. The beginning of the sugya is so radically different. The Gemara is talking about one person is giving damim. If one person is giving damim, so then the nature of the din Torah is a question of sheker. There's one chakran and there's one non-chakran. It's called the Migal Haitzi, and that's the issue that Rishonim have to deal with. It's called Migal Haitzi. At the end of the Gemara, when the Gemara changes the case, the Shnayim Nesnim damim, everything changes. Now it's not a Migal Haitzi issue, now it's a Bididami issue. Everything radically changed. Lefiani is daiti. I don't understand Rabbi Kivega. I don't understand Rabbi Kivega. I thought it was Rabbeinu Tam Lashitoso. I understand Rabbi Kivega is trying to salvage Rabbeinu Tam. He's looked at Rabbeinu Tam in Bava Basha Daftan Beis and Beis. Say, how could Rabbeinu Tam say what he said? Give all the Rishonim here say that's a Migal Haitzi. It's exactly Rabbeinu Tam who didn't say Migal Haitzi. Rabbeinu Tam is the one who said Migal Haitzi. I don't understand Rabbi Kivega. I said, if it wouldn't have been anyone else other than Rabbi Kivega, I would have said, I made a mistake. I said, I understand, Rabbeinu Tam is mamash l'shitasa. Rabbi Kivega had a kasha. He had a stir in Rabbeinu Tam, and then he gave a shtickle Torah. It's not a stir in Rabbeinu Tam, it's exactly Rabbeinu Tam l'shitasa. Rabbeinu Tam, of course, accepts Migal Haitzi. Why didn't Rabbeinu Tam say Migal Haitzi in Asugya? For exactly this reason, because since he's getting reimbursed, that's not called the Migal Haitzi. So I would say, this is not a question from one Rabbeinu Tam on to another. This is Rabbeinu Tam l'shitasa. I didn't understand this. Everyone, when you learned this, when you saw this with Kivega, guys looked inside? No one looked inside. Did I put it in memory cameras? No, it's obvious. I don't understand this. Tzorech in Gol. I don't understand this. Lefiyani is daiti. Rabbeinu Tam is not problematic. Rabbeinu Tam is perfect. It's mamash l'shitasa. So again, Rabbi Say, getting back to the story, this part about the Tazim of Abbas and Rabbeis, if we lost anybody, don't worry about it. This is not the main thrust of the sugya. This was a side little piece that Rabbi Kivega threw in Lipopura. Rabbi Say, I want to get back to the main sugya here. Back to Pabetziah Tafir. We got into this whole Shtickle Torah because of the Samikutzi. What was the Samikutzi's whole answer to why you don't say Migo here? One word. The one word was Bididami. And we were bothered with the Kasha. Okay, I thought we were getting away from Kivega. We're back to Kivega. We were bothered with the Kasha. How come all the other Rishonim didn't buy into the Samikutzi? Aren't there Gemaras and Yevamos that say it? Tazing Suba. Everybody holds the Migo Bididami Lo Amrinan. So we were very, very bothered. Kivega gave us a Shtickle Torah, razzle dazzle Shtickle Torah. Comes with Kivega, and he says, I give you a much more simple pshat. Much more straightforward pshat, why the other Rishonim didn't go the route of the Samikutzi. You don't need all this. Says with Kivega, I challenge the Samikutzi. The Samikutzi said, Shnayim oichizim betalas, zeh me'akula shli v'zeh me'akula shli. There's no chakra in here. There's no intentional liar here. We're talking about nice, honest, upstanding people who are making mistakes. That's how the Samikutzi learned by Metziah. He was such a down the chavschus. He couldn't believe there should be a member of Kaisel who's lying, who's advancing a tiny sheker and beis and kalila. We're talking about people who are making mistakes. Before Rosh Hashanah, down the chavschus. Nobody's out to lie and steal in the Samikutzi's yeshiva. How do you know that? Who told the Samikutzi we're talking about nice people here? We're talking about rotten core shakuranim in our sugya. What led the Samikutzi to believe that this is a Migo Bididami? I challenge the Samikutis of Rabbi Kivegar. I think all the other Shem disagreed, Rabbi Natam and the Rivam. Everybody else who gave other answers, they didn't disagree because there were two stages of the Gemara. There was in the yes and the, this is all nice. It's a shtickel tart. It's a nice, beautiful purple from Rabbi Kivegar. But it's not true. I mean, not true. It's not necessary, says Rabbi Kivegar. Says the other Rishayim disagree with the Samikutis because they disagree fundamentally with the whole premise of the Sugya. So yes, Rabbi, so we've been learning Shemachsim for almost 2 weeks. We have to answer this question. Are we dealing with a dintar between Shakran or are we dealing with a dintar between people who are mistaken? What led the Samikutsu to think that we're dealing with people who are mistaken? Is there anyone
else? Did they make both of them take Shuah? Or Shakran and Raman take
Shuah? Well, the Gemara talks about a little bit about what the purpose of that Shuah is. So there's a line in the Gemara that Gimel, the baby behind this. We have to jump ahead a little bit. The Gemara is discussing the difference between Shneimach and Talis, and the case of, who remembers the case from the first Sugya? Manashlishi, remember? Two guys leave me a Pikadol, one leaves $100, one leaves $200, I don't remember which one is which. There's a whole Sugya of a Shvua, right? Homach like Rabbi Yosin and Rabbanan. So the Gemara of Gibel had the following lashon. The Gemara said that in the case of Manashlishi, there's a Vadi Ika Ramoy. There's definitely a Ramoy. There's definitely a, there's a cheater over there. What do you mean, I think I gave you 200? I know how much money I gave you. There's the Vadi Ika Ramoy. Over here, the Gemara has a very, very powerful lashon. Here, the Gemara says, Hocha mi Ika Lameymar. Where's the lashon? What do you want to say? Where's the lashon? Where's the lashon? Hosam Vadi Ika Ramoy. Hocha mi Yema Dika Ramoy. Ema Chavai Badi Adodi Agbua. Gemara says, in the Mana Shlichi there's a Ramoy for sure, and here there's not a Ramoy for sure. Because maybe what really happened is that they both picked it up together. Hachaleka Ramoy. That's the Lashon HaGemara. So the Saimi Kutzi took this Lashon a little bit out of context. And you know what he said Hachaleka Ramoy means? There's no one dishonest in Bav Metzia. The dishonest people are in Masech HaShavuos, but in Bav Metzia everyone's tzaddikim. Hachaleka Ramoy. That's what it means. Hachalek Ramoy. Why is it Hachalek Ramoy? The Samikutsi said because the Tainas are Bididami, and they are formed because Bididami. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? What did the Rivam say? What did the Ramban say? What did the Ram say? What did everybody else say? What does Hachalek Ramoy mean? It's possible that nobody is really lying here. Because it could be that the Daka both picked it up together. That is on the radar screen the possibility. The case of the Manashlishi, it's not even a possibility. But here it could be that Leka Ramoy. Does it mean that we're not addressing the Din Torah as of there may be a Ramoy? Absolutely there may be a Ramoy. The Gemara never Chalila meant to say there's no Ramoy here. The Gemara just meant to say it's possible there's no Ramoy. To say that the case is lack of Ramos, the Vada is a chance of Ramos over here. And therefore the other Rishayim it said that we're dealing with potential Shakranim here, and therefore we use the regular rules of Migo. So at the end of the day, says Rabbi Kivega, the machlekes Rabbi Natam and the Rivam against the Samikutzi is not really a machlekes in Uchas Migos. It's not, ooh, some Rishonim say Migos the dummy is good, some Rishonim say Migos the dummy is no good, some Rishonim say Migos the is good, some Rishonim say Migos the is no good. No, it's not the machlekes. And the machlekes has nothing to do with shachvataz in the Gemara, one lashon, two lashon, is havamin, is maskana. No, forget that whole mahalach. The machlekes between the Samikutzi and everybody else is about the Ika Hesed of the entire parak. Are we dealing with non-Ramos? That's a Samikutsi, was the biggest Oy of Yisrael. No one's a Ramoy, everyone's a kosher Jew. It's just that people are making mistakes. Or do we go to the root of all the Rishonim that when the Gemara says Leker Ramoy, all the Gemara meant to say is that it's possible, 100 chances, there may be 50-50, they may both be telling the truth, but we have to address this Din Torah as of the Ramos, and therefore we address with all the rules of Migo the way we deal with other Shakranim and other Dinei Torah. So that's the Dekudus of Machlokes in the Samikutsi and everybody else.
Is it possible that the Samikutsi also held like the written showing that it's possible that there was a liar, and just the fact that there's a possibility that somebody might not be telling the truth, that somebody might be incorrect, that possibility allows us to throw out the rules of Migo, just because it's
a 100 chance. It's a 100 chance. It's a 100 chance. If the odds are that they're probably are Shakranim here, like everybody else says, then go with the regular rules of Shakranim. I think so. So Rabbi Sai, we have the Samikutsi's pshat. So we're going to add them to the list of different chisronos of this Migo. So what do we got so far? Different reasons why there's no Migo in our sugya, right? Why does Migo fall short? So we have the Migo Lahaitzi, the Rivam, we have the Migo Mimamon, the moment of Rabbeinu Tam. Anything else so far? What? The dummy? Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, let's ask it again. We go with the dummy. Come to Rishonim. Remember we said we could have six pshatim? So we already spent 2 weeks on three of them. Four, five, and six are going to go up pretty quickly.
Why can't the answer be why it's not Amigo Bavakama because it's Amigo the dummy?
Yeah. The Pasha's Advarim is that the guy is not the dummy. The guy is saying, this is my
Hamakir
Svarv. Yeah, I think that everybody is assuming that he knows what he's talking about. Just a question, is he believed or not? So Rabbi Sai comes around and says, I'm going to give you another pshat. Another chisson of this migo. Brand new pshat. So forget the semikutsi, forget everything we said up to now. A brand new pshat, says the Ran. He says, the Ran, you have two times in front of you. One time is to say kulishali, the other is to say chetzishali, right? So we want to believe you to say chetzishali, maybe you couldn't say kulishali. Zok the Ran, this is a migo de what? De ha'oza. Now migo de ha'oza is not the first time we bumped to migo de ha'oza. We already know this from the Gimel, that the Gemara had a havamin that I should be believed to say maidu miktas migo could have been kaifer akol. And the Gemara says, no, you are not believe because that's called the Migad Da'aza. So Migad Da'aza always means when the Taina that you're presenting is a very easy Taina, it's a very comfortable Taina. The Taina that you could have presented was a very uncomfortable type of Taina. It was a Chutzpedik Taina, and nobody wants to be a Mechutzuf, right? Nobody in today's world would have a dream of being a Chutzpedik. So therefore, there's a Chisarn in the Biror of Migo. If Migo is supposed to prove that I'm telling the truth, so it proves that I'm telling the truth. When did the psychological study say that most people would lie if they could? That means if it could easily lie, if I don't have to look bad lying, so I'd rather advance the Taina X rather than Taina Y. But if there's a reason why I'm not advancing Taina X, namely Taina X is a Ha'oza, then the whole Migo unravels. That's the Chisarn of Migo Da'oza. So it comes around and says, you want to believe a guy to say Chetzi Shali, Migo that he could have said Kula Shali? It's much more uncomfortable to say Kula Shali. Kula Shali is a Ha'oza. Chetzi Shali, it's not a time, it's a Ha'oza. So therefore, there's a problem with Migo Da'oza. So it comes around and says, it's very easy to present what I just said, but it's not 100% true. It says that Ran, to say Chetzi Shali is not a Ha'oza? If I'm not the rightful owner, that's not a Ha'oza? That's also a Ha'oza. This is a time of Ha'oza, and this is a time of Ha'oza. Normally, Migo Da'oza means that the time that I'm advancing, there's no Ha'oza whatsoever. There's nothing mechutzav about what I'm saying. Believe me, in Taina X, Migo, I could have said Taina Y. Oh. Again, so it comes around and says that the reason why this is not an acceptable Migo, believe me to say that it's Chetzi Shali, because I could have said Kula Shali, because it violates the rule of Migo Da'oza. So it comes around and asks himself, this is not a classic Migo Da'oza. Classic Migo Da'oza means when I have it's a Migo, I could have picked up the eraser. Migo. See, what was the example of Migo Da'oza that we had? Might have mixed in Kaifer HaKol, right? So I have here, believing. That's a good one. I have two possible tainas here. Kaifer HaKol and Might have mixed. So Gemara says, let every Might have mixed be Neman. Migo, it could have been Kaifer HaKol. So Gemara says, no, that's called the Migo Da'oza. Why? Because to be Kaifer HaKol, that's a Ha'oza. To be Maidu Mimiktas is not a Ha'oza. Why is it not a Ha'oza? I'm not ready to pay yet. It doesn't look so bad. But it's not such a Ha'oza, okay? So the Gemara says that Maidu Mimiktas is not called a I don't have a Migo. I could have been Kaifer HaKol because the Taina that I want to build the Migo off of is a Taina of Ha'oza. But asks the Rana himself over here, if this Talos doesn't belong to me, and I come up to you and I say, this whole talus belongs to me. Is that a ha'aza? Absolutely. And what if I come up to you and I say, this talus, half this talus belongs to me. Is that a ha'aza? That's also a ha'aza. So frek the Rana Kasha, what kind of chisson of migo da'aza is? I'm a mechutzav no matter which way you turn. So migo da'aza only means when when the taina that I'm advancing is a taina of bli ha'aza, and the taina I want to be believed with is ha'aza, that's not called an ego. But over here, when they're both ha'azas, so says the Ran, so I'm a chutzav no matter what I say. So that should be believed. There's no difference between the two tainas. They're both demonstrations of ha'aza. Why is that called the bigot ha'aza? So comes the Ran and says, within the parameters of bigot ha'aza. Says the Ran, this is also called the bigot ha'aza. You know why? Because there are gradations of chutzpah. Not all chutzpah are created equal. Mitzvah, give on a bracha, you have children, you'll see someday that there are different levels of chutzpah that somebody can pull off. You'll be surprised when you think you've seen the most, then get ready for some more. So it comes around and says that there are different levels of chutzpah. Kula shali, how mechutzav is it to say, Moshe, that shirt that you're wearing is totally mine. We would give you a lot for chutzpah, give you an 85% chutzpah. Okay? It's Moshe, that shirt that you're wearing, half of that shirt belongs to me. Ah, chutzpah to say such a thing. We'll call that a 62% chutzpah. So comes the Ran and says, since I would prefer to say the less mechutzav taina, rather than saying the more mechutzav taina, so that undermines the migo, that unravels the migo. Because again, migo by definition means I have to be just as easy to say both tainas. If there's a reason why I prefer the taina I'm advancing over the other taina, that undoes the entire migo. So it comes around and says, we have now a subcategory of Migo de Ha'aza. Migo de Ha'aza is not only in the first case, where you have to be kofer kol is how much Ha'aza? 100% Ha'aza. To be Meidiv Miktis, how much Ha'aza? Zero Ha'aza. This is a classic Migo de Ha'aza. Comes around and says, this is also Migo de Ha'aza, even though there's Ha'aza in both of them, but since the levels of Ha'aza change, that's also called the Migo de Ha'aza, and therefore the whole Migo falls by the wayside. Ad kan devira. Does everyone agree to the Ran? Obviously not, or else I wouldn't have posed that question. So come the Rishonim in Masechah Shavuos and address this very nekud of the Ran. The Ran just gave us a chiddush. Again, we're assuming this is a concept called Mikudah Azal Emrinan. That was the Beferish Gemara about Kofer Kol Bevin Miktas, maybe, according to Tezus. So we're assuming there is such a principle called Mikudah Azal Emrinan. And the Ran is being mechadish to us that this is also called the Mikudah Azal. So we have to analyze, is that correct or not? So comes the Gemara in Shavuos, we need a little bit of an introduction to see whether the Ran is right. We have another din Torah between a poel and a bala b'hayis. What are they fighting about? What are they fighting about? Was the guy paid in that? Guy saw the Marmar Kermis? No. Nobody saw it yet? Nobody saw the Rashman in Shavuos? Okay? I'm arguing, guys got to get ahead of me in the Marmar Kermis. Otherwise, tomorrow we have a shir on Yoni Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, something like that. So you got a whole day to get ahead of me. So Rabbi say, I come, I'm the Baal HaBayis, and I claim, you're my worker, I paid you already. The other guy says, you never paid me. I want to be paid for my job. And we're fighting back and forth and back and forth. I'm claiming I paid you, you claim you didn't pay me. What's the din? So before you read the Mishnah Masechah Shavuos, what would you say the din is? What should the din be, obviously? What's a levaraya? So the poel has nothing to stand on. It's his word against the balabais's word. So of course he's not going to get paid. That's what the din deraisa should be. Come Chazal and said, you know, tough life for the poel. The odds are between you and me, who's telling the truth? Who's probably telling the truth? Workers probably telling the truth. You know why? Very simple. Simple human psychology. The worker's got only one thing to remember. He's got to remember whether he got paid. The Baal HaBayis has what? 500 things to remember. What he's got to remember? He's got 500 other workers. So the odds are that the poel is telling the truth. The Baal HaBayis is tarred befoil of. He's busy running a 500-person company. The odds are he probably forgot. The odds are he's probably lying. The odds are he's not telling the truth. The poel is most probably telling the truth. So min ha-Torah, again, it's not a raya, min ha-Torah, it's not edim, it's not a Torah, it's nothing. But mid the Rabbanon, it would appear to us that the poel is most probably telling the truth. So therefore, Chazal instituted a hefke beis and hefke. We're going to let the poel collect the money against the din deraisa. We're going to let the poel collect the money. But since in our heart of hearts we're not convinced the poel is telling the truth, we'll throw something at the poel to make sure that he's really honest to goodness, telling us the truth. And what is that? We have no problem throwing a shvuin at him, and we'll call it a what? A shvuas ha? Hanotlin. By the time we get to the end of Bamitzi, we will have known the entire Mishnah Shavuos Balpeh, all the different Shavuos in Otlin. We got Pugemis Ksubasa, we'll see Parala B'Shavua, Paremine Yisayim, Parala B'Shavua, we're rolling with Shavuos in Otlin. So this is in Takonas HaMishnah, Sochi B'Zman HaNishpa V'Noitl. Ad Kan Divya HaMishnah. Comes the Gemara and qualifies this Takonah. Comes the Gemara and says, really? A socher is always nishba v'noitel. Bameh devar mamurim. When the fight between the balabais and the pole is just straightforward. I'm claiming that I paid you, and you're claiming that you didn't pay me, and shoyim. That's a suvi. That it's a given fact that what? That I hired him in the first place. What if we don't really know that he was hired in the first place? What if there are no edim? We have no witnesses that he actually did the job for him. Nobody really knows. And now they come to a din Torah. The socher says, you didn't pay me, and the man, the balabai, says, I paid you. Comes the Gemara and says, here the balabai has the upper hand. Here the balabai wins the din Torah. Why? He has a lot on his hand? Migo. What's his migo? Loscha ticha me'olam. I never hired you. So when it's just one word against the other, everybody knows that he's been working for the last 20 years. We've seen him being employed. So it's now just a question, did he pay, did he not pay? So then, minat Torah, the balabais wins, but the rabbanon, the socher wins, with the shvus and neitlin. But says the Gemara, if we don't even know he was hired in the first place, so then all of a sudden the balabais has the upper hand. Because the balabais is believed to say, what? He's believed to say, parati, migo, of what? I never hired you. No? What's the Rashba's kasha? What's the Rashba's problem with this migo? Rashba, Mimei, Shavuos. I look you straight in the face and I say, I never hired you. The guy says, you never hired me? I built your entire house. I painted your entire room. I mowed your entire lawn for the last 30 years. You never hired me. Los chaticha me'olam. Is that chutzpah to make such a statement? Los chaticha me'olam. Ein lecha ha'aza gadol mizu. This is ha'aza. This is ha'aza. What kind of migo is that? It's a terrible migo. It's a migo to ha'aza. Comes to Rashba, quotes the name of his Rebbe. Who's Rashba's Rebbe? Yeah. Ben Yoina. Quotes from his Rebbe, Ben Yoina, who said, you know what salvages this Migo? This Migo should have self-destructed. It's a Migo da'oza. You know what saves the Migo? Like the Ben Yoina? What saves the Migo? Praticha is also a shtipul ha'oza. Praticha, to be the looking straight in the veil. I paid you. You paid me? I never got paid. It's also a ha'oza. So comes Rabbi Yain and says, Das is a Oza, and Das is a Oza. They're both Ozas. Now the truth is, degree of Ha'oza, which is a worse Ha'oza, Rabbi say? What? Which is a worse Ha'oza? Clearly, Los Chaticha Me'olam is 85% Ha'oza. This is a, what were the numbers over there? 62, right? This is not such a bad Ha'oza. What did Rabbi Yain just say? Rabbi Yehuda just said, once both migos are labeled as ha'aza, it doesn't matter one's a little better, one's a little bit worse, one's a little more chutzpah, one's a little bit less chutzpah. Both, once we label both tainas, get stars for ha'aza, then the whole concept of calling a migo the ha'aza falls by the wayside. And therefore, the migo is what? Is a what? Is a good migo. So Rabbi Yehuda learned Pshat in the Gemara Masechet Shavuos that ultimately what salvages this Migo, why we don't destroy this Migo because it's a Ha'aza, is because we have a Shtikl Ha'aza over here. So says Rabbi Yehuda, as long as you can claim that both Taina 1 and Taina 2 are both Ha'azas, that automatically calls it a non-Migo to Ha'aza, and therefore the Migo is salvaged. So this Rabbi Yehuda is clearly disagreeing with this Ran. The Ran said that the problem in Shnayim Mechzor B'Talis is that it's a Migo de Ha'aza. And the Ran had to touch up Migo de Ha'aza and say, well, even though one's a little more, even though they're both Ha'aza, one's more, one's less, that's also called the Migo de Ha'aza. That which Rabbi Yoni, that which the Ran called a Migo de Ha'aza, according to the Ran, the Migo is no good because it's a Migo de Ha'aza. According to Rabbi Yoni, it's a good Migo. It's a perfectly acceptable Migo. That's not called the Migo de Ha'aza. So we have a machlekes rishon. Who would have ever thought in a million years between the Mishnah and Daf Beis, the Ran's version of Daf Beis and Mabim Tzia, Rabbi Yoni's version of Shavuos Daf Memhei, as to what's called the Migadah Azar? If they're both Azar, but one is more Azar than the other, is that also called the Migadah Azar or not? Who's the Bar Plukta of the Rabbi Yoni and the Rashba? How would the Ran learn this sugya? According to the Ran, who says this is called the Migadah Azar, so why would the Ran accept this Migo? This Migo flies in the face of the Ran. What's the answer? Comes the Rashba and says, comes the Rashba and calls the name of Rav Haigon. Comes the Rav Haigon, the Haile Ge'enim, today's the Ge'enim, comes Rav Haigon and says, you know why this Migo is a good Migo? Aye, it's a Migo to Oza. It's a terrible Migo. Says Rav Haigon, you know what? You're right. It's not a Migo to Oza. And Migo to Oza never works. Migo to Oza is a disaster. Migo to Oza is worthless. Except for here. Over here, says Rav Haigon, we break the regular rules of Migo. We accept Migos that otherwise would not be acceptable in other areas of Allah. You know why? Why? Why are we willing to lower the standards for Migos in this sugya? But believing the Balabayas with a Migo that otherwise wouldn't make the mark of Migo. What's the answer? Because that's what should have happened in the first place. The Balabayas should have won the Din Torah to start with. Remember when we introduced the sugya, we said, Minat Torah, the Balabayas wins the Matzach Levaraya. The Chachamim made a takana to change the Din Deraisa. Zok the Hiliger of Haigon, over a thousand years ago in Bavel. Zok the Hiliger of Haigon, the Medva Mamurim that the Chachamim changed the Din Deraisa when the Balabayas has nothing on his side. If the Balabayas has anything, any kind of amigo, call it a shvach amigo, call it a amigo to Oza, call it a bad amigo, call it whatever you want to call it, make fun of it, say it's worthless, it's good enough to win a Din Torah that he should have won anyway. So comes Rav Haigon in one fell swoop and says, this Gemara in Shavuos is the exception to the rule. What's the regular rule about these kinds of funny amigos when you go from 62 to 85? The real rule is, it's called amigo to Oza. This is the exception to the rule. This sugi maset Shavuos, even though it's a Migo de Oza, we're still going to accept it because this is different, because the standards of Migo that are necessary for here are so shvach, so low, it doesn't have to meet the otherwise rigorous standards of Migo. This is Rav Haigon's pshat. Says Rav Haigon, I'll prove to you that I'm right. I'll prove to you that the standards of Migo necessary in Shavuos don't make the mark of other standards of Migo. There's another glaring problem with this Migo in Shavuos Daf Memhei. There's another serious problem with Shavuos Memhei. What's the problem with the Migo? We said it before. Do we think the Balabais is a shocker? Do we think he's a liar, he's a cheat? What is the problem with the Balabais? He's busy. He's got 500 other problems. He thinks he paid the guy. It's a classic for the dummy. So says the Rashba, how can the Rishonim, how can the Gemara use Migo here altogether? Who's the Gemara kidding? The Gemara says, we believe the Balabais, Migo, that he could have said, lo praticha, lo sechaticha me'erlo. What do you mean, Migo? What's from Migo? Zachamib with the dummy. You never heard of the Sami Kutzi in your life. You never heard of Yavam Estaf Kefidal. You never heard of Taisik Subis Per Hey. You never heard of Shlamach Simtalos. You never heard of a problem with Migo the dummy. How did you let me say this Migo? Everyone should have pounced on me 10 minutes ago. Ah, because everyone already thought of Rav Haigon, and that's why nobody jumped on me. How did you let me get away with this terrible, lousy Migo? How did you let me say this Migo? Estach Migo with the dummy. So if the Rash, but the answer is, the standards of Migo here are so shvach. They're nothing. Migo, yeah, it's a Migo the dummy. Who cares? Ah, it's a Migo. It's a Migo. That's a big deal. Who cares? It's a shvach amigo, it's a terrible amigo, it's a weak amigo, it's a nothing amigo. It's all right. It's still amigo. It's good enough. For these purposes, it's good enough. So in two fell swoops, what the Rashba just did in the name of Haigon and said, don't confuse Shavuos Memhei into the equation. When discussing the rules of amigo, don't look at the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Memhei. That's the wrong place to go. Because that Gemara is special, is unique, it's irrelevant to our discussion. You wonder what the standards of amigo are? The standards of amigo, Migo to Oza, the standards of Migo, Migo Bididami, there are real absolute standards of Migo, and the Gemara Shavuos fails in all counts, but it doesn't bother us, because anyway, we don't really need such an Ayay Migo to support the Balabais, because he should win the Din Torah anyway. So Rav Yisai, we now have two radically different approaches in the Rishonim as to how do you relate to this sugya in Masechta Shavuos. Do you take the view of Rabbeinu Yehuda, who said the Gemara Shavuos, you want to win a Din Torah in Shavuos, you better come up with a really good Migo to win your Din Torah. And I'm going to tell you a shekel Torah about the standards of Migo, says Rabbeinu Yehuda. And Rav Haigon says, don't tell me anything. Shavuos Memhei, that doesn't belong. When discussing Migos, assume you never learned Shavuos Memhei.
Why is the
Mode
of Mixas not also like a lower level? Why is it not similar to the Kuzma?
So that's what we have to get to Daf Gimel to see that. We have to get Daf Gimel. What the person thinks when he's being Mode of Mixas. Why that's not even a Kwaza Ha'azah. So Rabbi said, what do we got here? No, let's backtrack for a second. So we're still trying to give, what number teretz are we up to? Teretz number four, right? We're trying to figure out what is the problem with the Migo in Shnei Merchsen. That's the only thing we want to know. What's the chisaron of the Migo in Shnei Merchsen? So we have Migo Lahitzi problem, we got the Migo Ramon the Mammon problem, we got the Migo with the dummy problem, and now we have the Ran's conditions of Migo da Ozo. The only thing is you can't just say the Ran like that. You have to explain that the Ran has to elaborate and say it's not a real Migo da Ozo, it's a very, very fancy, schmancy type of Migo da Ozo, which may or may not be agreed upon by other Rishonim. But I call upon him, the Ran's willing to go the route of Migo da Ozo. Ready for teretz number five? Comes around and gives another teretz. Comes around and says, what's the yesod of Migo da Ozo? What's the idea of Migo da Ozo? Right, I have Taina A and Taina B. I'm advancing Taina A. Believe me, I could have said Taina B. I have to be very, very comfortable to say Taina B. If there's something that's stopping me, something that's irking me from saying Taina B, so then the whole Migo falls down, goes down the drain. The whole yesod of Migo is that I could have, not just I could have said Taina B. What's the key word we define Migo? I could have just as easily said Taina B. There is nothing bothering me psychologically from saying Taina B. If I can pin any other reason why I would be uncomfortable, I would be irked to say Taina B, then the whole Migo falls by the wayside. Two tainas in front of you. To say kula shali, to say chetzi shali. Assuming the guy knows what's going to happen. Okay, all migos is assuming the guy knows something. The guy doesn't know anything, then there's no migo. So assuming the guy knows, if he'll say kula shali, he has the possibility to say kula shali, he has the possibility to say chetzi shali. And he thinks that if he says kula shali, how much will he get? If he says kula shali, what's he expecting to get? He's expecting to get chetzi. If he says chetzi shali, how much is he expecting to get? Also chetzi, right? That's what he's hoping for. So believe me when I say chetzi shali, migo I could have said kula shali. Because after all, it would have been just as easy for me to say kula shali. There's nothing preventing me from saying kula shali. So those are my A's and my B's, right? Believe me to say chetzi shali, because I could have just as easily said kula shali. There's nothing bothering me about saying kula shali. So give me half, because if I would have said B, I would have said kula shali, I would have also gotten half. Says the Ran, there's something bothering him about saying kula. Not because it's ha'oza, that was the terrace number four. What's bothering him about saying B, about saying kula and walking away with half? That's psychologically very distressing. People like to come out of a din Torah thinking that what? When they come out and they say, guy, did you win? Did you win? So what does he want to say? I won the din Torah. Yotza. And we came out victorious. Like the Medrash says, you have to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we don't know, did we win, did we not win? Comes the first day of Sukkot, we start waving our banners, waving our lulav. We won, we won. You don't want to come out of the din Torah and say, well, I won kind of. Because Baruch Hu said, I get a half a year. No, we won, I got the whole year. I won the whole thing. Comes the Ran and says, for a guy to be towing kula and walk away with chetzi, gives him a feeling like he lost half. To be towing chetzi and get chetzi is what? That's geschmack, that's good. Says the Ran, I could not have easily have said B. I don't want to say B. It bothers me to say B. Tachas, am I going to get the same dollars and cents? Yeah. But says the Ran, the same way we have a principle called the Migo da Oza. Migo da Oza means I have to, what was the phrase again? I have to just as easily been able to say B. There's nothing that's preventing, nothing blocking me psychologically from saying B in order to give credibility to my Migo. If there's something that bothers me about saying B, that throws into question the validity of the Migo. You know what bothers me about saying B? I don't feel good about saying B. I don't feel saying Kulish, I don't feel good saying Kulish and then walking away with Chaytzi Shali. Therefore, the whole Migo unravels. That's the chisaron of Migo. Who told the Ran there's such a new category called Migo of not being friendly, not being happy, not being smiley? The Ran didn't need a new category. It's part of what? It's Migo da Ozo. It's the same story. It's a sidekick to Migo da Ozo. It's the corollary of Migo da Ozo. So we have five. We're up to five. Comes the Ramban with number six. Comes the Ramban, and I'm going to present this as a separate independent answer, even though there are some Rishonim who don't seem to do that, but I'm pretty convinced that it is. Comes the Ramban and says, this entire Migo, this whole question for the last 2 weeks of Shia, and everybody say, believe it or not, we're about to make a Siyam on the Migo part of the Sugya. So the next Sugya is already not Migo anymore. It also has to do with Hefetalos, but it's a totally different dimension of the Sugya. Comes to Ramban and says, everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks is very, very shaky. Very, very shaky. Says the Ramban, what does Migo mean? Every Migo under the sun, in Subas and Bava Basan, every Migo means, believe me to say A, Migo that I could have said B. And whatever I could have walked away with B, I could walk away with A. An absolute cardinal rule of Migo, I can't get more than what I would have timed it otherwise. If B would have only given me X, I can't walk away by timing A and get X plus Y. That's obviously not a Migo. Migo means everything that I could have timed, everything I would have got, I would have been zoicha to 58.5%. Whatever I would have been zoicha with the time that would have won, I want to borrow that tiny, but the B, which is time, whatever you want to call it, whatever I would have gotten for B, I want to get for A as well. Once you cross the threshold, you cross the line and say, give me more than what I would have gotten for the previous tiny, for the unstated tiny, that's not a Migo. What kind of Migo is that? That's what's called loye tofa chomer ikar. How could we believe you, Migo, you could have said something else and give you more than if you would have said to something else itself? That's portion, right? That's like ABCs. Everyone understands that, right? How could you possibly, your time that you're advancing, be more successful than the time that you would have, should have, could have advanced? How do you define success, Rabbi Say? How do you define success in the Din Torah? If you define it based on dollars and cents, I walked away with $85, and if I walk away with $69, so the $85 is more successful than Din Torah? How do you define success? What's the answer? Percentage of what? Of what I claimed. If I go into a Din Torah, I go into a $10 million Din Torah, and I walk away 30% successful. So I walk away with how much money? $10 million Din Torah. $3 million, okay? I was only 30% successful in my Din Torah. If I have a Din Torah on 50 cents, but I win the entire Din Torah, I walk away with only 50 cents. Who's more successful? I didn't ask who's richer. I asked who is more successful in the Din Torah? The guy walked away with 50 cents. He won the Din Torah, 100%. The stakes weren't very high, so he got 50 cents. He could barely buy himself a piece of bubble gum, but he was more successful in the Din Torah. Comes the Ramban and says that the definition of the Din Torah success is relative to what you claimed, then we have a very, very serious problem with this Migo. Believe me to say, it's Chetzi Shali, Migo I could have said Kula Shali. If I would have said Kula Shali, how successful would I have been with a Kula Shali? I would have been 50% successful. I would have only gotten 50% of the talents. Believe me to say Chetzi Shali, to be what? To be 100% successful. Believe me to be 100% successful, Migo, I could have been 50% successful. That's not a Migo. What kind of Migo is that? That's a Migo. That undermines the very essence of Migo. Migo means, believe me on A, that I could have said B. You want to be better than B. So the Ramban says, Lafiani is dieti, the whole Migo falls, by the way. There is no such Migo. Now Rabbi said, clearly the other Rishonim did not buy into this Ramban. The Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam and the Sabikutzi and the Ran number one and the Ran number two. None of the other Rishonim said this. All the other Rishonim are looking for, in a sense, external reasons. There's some problem with this Migo. It's a Migo of the Hazan, it's a Migo of the Haitzi, it's a Migo of the Dami, it's a Migo of the Mammon, it's a Migo of this, and it's a Migo of that, it's a Migo of the other. There's some kind of a quirk of a problem in this Migo. But the underlying principle of Migo is okay here, according to the other Rishonim. Because apparently the other Rishonim are measuring the guidelines of Migo, not in success rate in terms of percentage of how right I am with the Din Torah. Who cares if you take two guys and ask them, would you rather be 50% right in your $10 million Din Torah or 100% right in your 50 cent Din Torah? You got to be a real, real, you know, believer in your rights to be insistent on the 50-cent in Torah. I'd rather be halfway right on the $3 million in Torah. So l'chor, all the other Rishonim say, no, this is a Migo. Migo is defined by how much money I'm walking away with. If I could have timed B and walked away with X amount of money, so then I could time A and walk away with the same amount of money. I can't walk away with X plus one. That everybody agrees to. The Ramban's fundamental yesod is correct, that the time that you're advancing can't enable you, can't entitle you to more than you could have timed it otherwise. Everybody agrees to the Ramban. But the Machlekes, the Ramban, the other Rishonim is, how do you make that determination? Is that determination based on theoretically percentages of how successful you are relative to your dinter, relative to your claims, or is it a function of dollars and cents? So there's a new machlek you see between the Ramban and the other Rishonim about how do you size up Migos? What is the relationship between what I'm saying and what I could have said? How equal do they have to be? Do they have to equal in terms of dollars and cents signs, or do they have to be equal in terms of quantity, in terms of relativity to what I'm tying? So Rabbi say, when all the dust settles, we can see him. Make us see him. That's when we're ready. 2 weeks into the shiur, we haven't made a party yet. Okay, so no problem. Okay, donuts tomorrow. So I was kidding. So Rabbi, we have 6 mahalchim in the Rishonim. Okay, good question for a bechina, right? 6 mahalchim. We 6 questions. 6 mahalchim in the Rishonim. So we have Rabbeinu Tam. No, say more quickly, Rabbi. Rabbeinu Tam is what? Not Rabbeinu Tam. Sorry, start from the beginning. Start with the Rivam. The Rivam is Migul Haitzi. Rabbeinu Tam is. Miguel Lama Maman, Sami Kutzi, Miguel the Dummy, Ron number 1, Miguel Dozer with a very, very funny kind of a Uzza. Ron number 2, it's not comfortable. I'd rather say the other way. We'll call it a Migo, we'll call it a cousin of Miguel the Uzza, okay? And number 6, the Ramban, what did you say?
Percentage.
What? Percentage, the percentage shot. Okay, so we have 6 different Mahalchim and Rishonim. So everybody say, everyone read the Mishnah? Right, when you read the Mishnah. Right? Everyone saw this in the Mishnah? We didn't even start the Gemara yet. We didn't do anything. We haven't learned anything yet. We haven't started B'Matir yet. This is just an introduction to try to understand what is the problem in the Mishnah. There's some glaring problem that Migo was failing in the Mishnah. 6 Malchim and the Rishonim, each one opens up a whole world in and of itself. Okay? Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem will, the next Sugya. So tomorrow we'll have some Inyana Diyoma. What time do we say Shia tomorrow? 9:15. Okay? In theory, 9:15. As close as 9:15 as I can get here. Okay? Barring traffic complications. And then I'm here to Shem on Sunday, so we'll begin the next week. Well, Sunday, after about Shir on Sunday, wait, it's going to be relevant for some other guys also. Hold on. Who is going to return?